Tell to all my friends that all of my issues, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait a second, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 20, we talk about conspiracy theories. Not the normal ones you hear about, like the ones involving chemtrails and all that type of business. We are talking about conspiracies that have been used as a plot device in works of fiction. But before we get into that, let's talk about Geek Fuel. If you're anything like us, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. You enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related material. Right now, if you go to our website, allofmyissues.com, and click the Geek Fuel link, you can save $3 off of your Geek Fuel subscription. Use those $3 to invest in an aluminum foil for your tinfoil hat. All right, let's get started. Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. I'm Rick.
I'm Chris.
All right.
Last time we talked over each other, this time
we're gonna get this.
We each pause and let the other one go. It was nice.
We're gonna get this whole podcast thing down. One of these days.
Nah, probably not.
Nah. That's part of the fun of listening to it, because you don't know where we're gonna mess up.
I wouldn't say mess up. It's just making it more real for our listeners.
That's right. A little rough around the edges.
We were just overly polite to each other. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. This is true. Professional courtesy.
That's right.
So, all right.
That was the sound of respect.
That's right. All right. Well, today, what are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about
conspiracy theories.
Ha ha.
And particularly each of us are top five conspiracy movies, television show, comic books. I think that covers everything that we'll probably be talking about.
I think so. Yeah, I don't know how many conspiracy songs there are. Man, we should have looked.
Man, I did not look at that at all.
Seems like we left out a whole genre, maybe. I don't know. But no, I think all the ones I picked are comic book / movie, well, not even TV show / comic books, I would say, are the ones that I picked. So, should we get started?
Sure.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
That'll work.
My number five is Dark City. A movie from 1998, directed by Alex Proyas, stars Rufus Sewell, Kiefer Sutherland, Jennifer Connelly, a couple other people, William Hurt, it's the story of a city that's dark. It's a city.
End of story.
That's never daytime. And basically, a man wakes up at a murder scene. He has no recollection of how he got there or anything. You come to realize that there's an overarching larger conspiracy, that there's this group of beings that are controlling everything, and basically there is no day. They just basically every so often put everyone to sleep and reset the day. They have the power to, I think they call it tuning. And basically they have telepathic and telekinetic powers, and it's pretty pretty cool. It's the same director as The Crow, So the shots are very beautiful.
Was that a precursor to The Crow? I mean, did he do that before The Crow?
No, Crow came out like four or five years before that.
Was okay.
This came out at almost the exact same time as The Matrix, and I think kind of got overshadowed by The Matrix in terms of. But there are some pretty cool things in. I don't want to give too much away. Kiefer Sutherland plays like a crazy doctor person. It's got a pretty cool ending. I dug it.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying that movie, but to be honest with you, I don't think I've really seen it since it came out. And I really have a hard time trying to remember what really happens in it.
There's like these bald creature. He keeps dreaming of another life, like life at the beach, and there's postcards and things like that.
Oh, I do kind of remember some.
And there's
these
beings, and they all wear like black trench coats and are bald and evil looking, and they're the ones that are the telepathics, and they just basically are a giant hive. I don't want to spoil too much, but
it's good.
It's an overarching conspiracy for the people of that city, and
I like it. I like it.
Yep. That's all I got to say about that.
Want me to? I'll go next, I guess. We'll go from there. Okay, mine. I'm going to pick which is maybe the conspiracy-based show that I love to hate the most. I really enjoy it, but at times it's a little frustrating. And it's X-Files.
Yeah.
I mean, that show is filled with conspiracies. The big overarching storyline, I think, is the whole alien conspiracy thing. Chris and I were kind of talking a little bit about it before we started recording. At least in my opinion, my favorite X-Files episodes are all the ones that don't have anything to do with aliens. The ones that are more like standalone episodes of weirdness. And I think those are great.
The family. The backwoods family that live in the house with the mother is just a frightening episode.
That,
I loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah. There were some really, really creepy episodes. Yeah.
Just when she's like, "Ma, we've lived here since the War of Northern Aggression." And you're like, oh gosh.
Yep. Yeah.
Get back on your skateboard and go under the bed.
But the thing I guess I like when I say I love to hate the show is the overarching storyline that seems to kind of, in a way, I just kind of wish they would almost just do away with it.
Yeah.
Just because it just seems to really never go anywhere.
Right.
You know, because they add a little bit and then, you know, they reveal something and then they add more stuff. And then, you know, where's it going?
I don't know. Closure.
Yeah, there's no closure to it at all. And even with, you know, they recently put out like another little mini season of X-Files episodes. And those were really good. And only like two of them, I think, maybe a little bit more than two, I'm trying to remember, had alien stuff in them. You know, it was like one of the first or second episodes had some alien content in them. But then the last episode that they had from the little mini season that they released, it has like an alien cliffhanger that just like, oh, why did you do it? You know, it just kind of infuriated me more than anything. But it's still a fun show to watch. And like I said, the standalone episodes that don't have anything to do with aliens, I love them. The Smoking Man, we were talking about the Smoking Man. Love the Smoking Man character. Yeah.
I love government conspiracies.
Yes. Yeah. So. That's.
Well, I mean, I don't love them. I love, like, them in pop culture.
Yeah.
I'm
the
not
idea.
A big fan
of
the
them.
Real ones.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because those are actually really scary.
Yeah.
Do we ever know what happened to Mulder's sister? Or isn't that part of the all hanging? Like.
Yeah. I think. It's pretty much been accepted, I guess, that she was kidnapped. But beyond that, I don't think... Kidnapped by aliens, I guess. But beyond that, I don't think anything else has really ever come of it. I mean, I might be, it's been a while since I watched other episodes of X-Files besides the last ones that they just unveiled. Right. But, you know, so my X-Files lore might not be completely on par with some others, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think they've gone very far with that.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. I'm with you on loving to hate it sometimes.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Those were just the episodes I cared the least about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still liked them, but I just cared the least about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My one of my conspiracies was Spider-Man, the clone saga.
Nah.
The whole, which one is the real Peter Parker?
So. Ben Reilly's the real Peter Parker, right?
Oh.
Like, it's still up in the air. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, the surprising thing was, that took place from 1994 to 96.
Oh, God. I know. It's horrible. Oh, man.
2 years long.
Two years.
Yeah. Because, Sam, I actually picked that as well. and yeah, it's just... yeah. And like, I remember, like, leaving the series pretty early on in the whole Clone Saga storyline, and just because I just remember, oh, my God, just hating it. And it, right. And it was probably like the first few issues of it coming out, and the fact that it lasted so long, and then it's so like, in preparation for this podcast, I kind of went back and researched a little bit of the stuff that happened during that period of time, and oh my God, I didn't realize how crazy it got. It got super crazy. I mean, besides Scarlet Spider, which I thought, okay, that's the craziest. No, that's like just the tip of the iceberg of crazy stuff.
Yes.
Like Peter Parker and Mary Jane lost a baby?
Yeah.
That's completely crazy to me. Like, I don't know. But I guess that brought us the alternate universe version of Spider-Girl, so that's cool, right?
Yeah.
They were like, hey, we need to make this happen. So, yeah. So.
Some good comes out of all bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really don't understand. I mean, they must have, Marvel at one point must have just thought, oh, this is going to be the best storyline ever. Because they invested quite a bit into it.
Right.
And they dragged it out. And I think they were just trying to, like, okay, we can save this. We could turn this around. This story is going to be turned around. People are going to love Ben Reilly.
What can we do to let's kill a baby.
Yeah. This will make the fans love it again.
Everyone loves dead babies.
Even dead babies couldn't save it.
Yeah. So I was like, when I picked this, I'm like, because now, you know, you have the clone conspiracy that's the storyline for Spider-Man. So it's like, oh, man, it just came full circle here. Just a whole big conspiracy again.
Have you been following that at all? The clone.
I have been following that.
All right, you need to give us some intel on that. Yeah, give us the lowdown.
Give us your recon.
Yeah.
So take everything you know about the clone saga, and just put it all in the clone conspiracy, because basically the same players are there.
Are there? Is there more dead babies?
Well, actually, it's in reverse. the babies are now alive again. So basically.
Oh.
So basically.
Well, that's morbid.
Yeah. Are they undead babies?
They are undead babies. We are dealing with undead babies.
Oh, man.
And so the jackal.
Undead spider babies.
The jackal has been bringing back all of Spider-Man's loved ones and enemies back to life. As clone.
God. Oh man, it's
now is he like taking the DNA of the loved ones and bringing them back, or is he like zombified people? Now, do the clones have the memories of the original people?
They do. They do have the memories.
Because
of
science.
Because science. That's how.
Because there's a part where Dr. Octopus is talking to Spider-Man, and he's like, dude, I know who you are. Remember, I was in your body for, like, several years.
That's got to be awkward.
Yeah. So, the, with the tentacles and everything? Oh, wait.
Oh, man.
You got that going on. You got Spider-Gwen showing up because she's from a different universe. You got Kane also involved in it. That is one of the original clones of Spider-Man that's all deformed, that has that disease, but and everything. Yeah. And that has to do with some of the clones, because these clones have to take this pill or else they'll turn into these zombies. And
yeah, because so, didn't Kane originally turn into like a pile of goo or something like that? Or some, wasn't there some weird weird thing? Like, man, that storyline is just so bad.
And so you find out that, you know, the person that we thought was the Jackal, or we always knew was the Jackal, is it the Jackal of this one? So, just like I said, everyone comes back from the Clone Saga. So, I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but boom. So,
spoiler alert.
Come back.
Living babies.
The lovely interview podcast had touched on it before, where there's certain things in comics that were taboo, and those taboos are being crossed in Spider-Man clone conspiracy.
Oh. So I think we all know what that means then, right?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I cannot your thesis here.
Yeah.
More taboo than Dr. Octopus being inside Peter Parker for 2 years?
Well, he was dating Aunt May, too.
Oh, that's right. He was dating Aunt May for a while. That's true.
They were almost got married.
Wow.
I wonder if he was inside Aunt May for 2 years.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's all I gotta say.
Oh man, but it just makes me wonder why they'd even why would they want to revisit that storyline at all? It seems to me like, man, just almost go almost any other direction with it besides doing that.
Why does Aunt May look like she's 160 years old?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's just the way she's always been portrayed. Is
yeah,
it wasn't like, I mean, she's old looking.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just, it's a 17-year-old's aunt. It's not a great aunt. It's just the aunt.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Like,
maybe she has some sort of Benjamin Button disease or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, that could be. It could be.
That's one nice thing about Marissa Tomei.
That is true. Tomei, whatever. Yeah, that is true. I've got a lot of hope for the Spider-Man movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I hope there's clones in it.
Yeah.
And dead babies.
Dead babies and clones.
Dead babies and clones.
Yeah, that's what's missing from the Spider-Man movie. Marvel, get on this.
Oh, are we done talking about clones?
Yeah, probably. I guess that's probably both yours and my next one, so.
Okay.
Well, you can.
Yeah. We might have an extra bonus one that we can add.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. My number four, Quattro. Is just barely conspiracy related. The conspiracy's really at the end. I mean, I guess there's an overarching conspiracy, but the main overarching conspiracy is one person, and I think you need two people to make a conspiracy. So, and that's I don't know, what was that, 84? Man, it's The Watchmen.
Oh, yeah.
The comic book The Watchmen. And in it, spoiler alert for this thing that's 30 years old.
yeah, that everyone should have seen in one form or the other.
Right.
Whether movie or book form, graphic novel.
In it, Ozymandias has a plan to fake an alien attack on New York and kill millions of people in order to unite the world and stop a nuclear war from breaking out. 1986 to 87. But when it becomes a conspiracy is at the end, when you think that he's, you know, that they're there to stop him, Rorschach and Night Owl, and he's like, well, no, do you think I would have told you my plan? It's already happened a half hour ago. And it becomes a conspiracy at that point because Night Owl could go forward. Dr. Manhattan could have come out if he decided not to travel the universe. It becomes a conspiracy where they're hiding information. And the only one who won't go along with it is Rorschach. Now, however, the nice thing is there's a little conspiracy theory magazine that in the comic, and Rorschach's journal was mailed to them before the events that happened at the end. So there is an implication that the conspiracy will come out, and who knows what kind of world that will lead to.
That ending in the comic book is awesome.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember, do they even touch upon that in the movie?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I remember they changed the ending a little bit.
Giant alien squid monster that became just a Dr. Manhattan. I wasn't really against that because it kind of made sense within the...
Yeah. A little less comic booky, maybe. I don't know.
But yeah.
Giant squid monsters, though. Yeah, I like them, too, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
All right. That's it?
Yeah, we've talked about Watchmen before and movie and stuff, so I'm not going to...
It's a pretty... renowned work.
I'm not gonna beat a dead comedian.
Love it, love it. And who played the comedian?
Negan.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Wow. Can't let that stuff fly.
I know, right? Oh man. Okay, I guess we'll go into mine. We just kind of bashed a little bit on Marvel's choice of spider clone storylines, but some storylines I think they do right, they get right. I mean, I'm a Marvel fan. I'm probably more of a Marvel person than DC, to be honest with you.
Ditto.
Big reveal there. Yeah, I don't know. But so this I think they did really, really well. And that's the Marvel Illuminati. The Marvel Illuminati is a little bit different in a sense than the real Illuminati that we know exists, right?
It has to exist.
the Marvel Illuminati...
Led by Jay-Z and Miley Cyrus.
Exactly. Well, Kanye West, too, right? Is he maybe... Is he part of the Illuminati?
He's a pawn.
Yeah.
He's a pawn,
yeah.
It's Beyonce and Jay-Z. Well, yeah. Beyonce. Queen B.
Yeah, but no, the Marvel Illuminati.
Sam and I, we're Illuminati too.
The Marvel Illuminati has Iron Man, Professor X, Namor, Black Bolt, Doctor Strange, and Mr. Fantastic. So it kind of covers all the areas of the Marvel Universe. You got representation from like the Avengers, which would be Iron Man. You got the mutants, which would be Professor X, Namor being like the, you know, king of the sea type of guy, also kind of a mutant, I guess, as well, right?
First mutant,
that's right. And then we got Black Bolt, king of the Inhumans, Doctor Strange covering like the mystical realm, and then you got Mr. Fantastic, which is pretty much the whole science aspect of the Marvel Universe.
So much like the regular Illuminati, a bunch of rich and powerful white men.
Exactly. That's kind of crazy. That's very true. But I just like the way that they introduced the Marvel Illuminati too. Like they kind of retconned them into the whole Marvel universe, and I think it was done fairly well. Basically, kind of suggesting that they were formed right after the Kree-Skrull War, but you know, the Illuminati was basically, you know, they created a lot of the, well, initiated, I guess, a lot of the really cool storylines that happened in the Marvel Universe there for a while, for several years, where we got the whole Planet Hulk storyline, because the Illuminati were the ones that decided to solve the Hulk problem by launching him into space. Which, yeah. Can't get rid of the Hulk, so we'll just ship him away, you know.
Well, they had to assume that he was going to die out there, right?
Well,
I mean, they didn't specifically say, "Hey, let's go send him to a habited planet and make it their problem all of a sudden."
No, I think it was they did the research. If I remember reading it right, they did the research on a planet that they were going to send it to, and something happened to the rocket where it landed on Sakaar
or whatever it was. Yeah, because I think they actually selected a planet that didn't have any intelligent life, I believe, on it, or something like that, where he could just kind of live the rest of his days happily. But yeah, something happened. I think the Hulk got the idea of what they were doing, kind of freaked out or something. I think launched the rock or set the rocket off
course. So out of curiosity, now I know that Hulk at that point had intelligence, but did he have Bruce Banner's full intelligence?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did either.
So how were they expecting him to live on this planet? Like, they were just hoping he'd hunt?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of the moral responsibilities of this.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's pretty... I think it, as far as...
I mean, I know what happens on Planet Hulk. I just didn't see... And I know why they sent him into space, but I didn't know all of the particulars, so I was just asking.
Yeah, I do remember that, because I kind of had issues, I guess, with them making the decision of sending Hulk into space, just because, like, okay, yeah, he's been a nuisance and has caused some problems and stuff like that, but still, he has kind of been, like, a trusted ally in several battles up until then, you know, and it's kind of helped them out in some pretty dire situations
before that. He's been their big gun.
exactly, right? So they kind of, like...
It just goes to prove what the song we talked about several weeks ago is true. Nobody loves the Hulk.
Nobody loves the Hulk, that's right.
They need to add an extra verse.
Yeah. Sodom shot him into space.
Sodom.
Sodom. Sodom. Whoa.
We're back to Dr. Octopus being a Peter Parker for 2 years.
No, man. I don't remember Dr. Octopus being inside the Hulk, but maybe that's a whole other storyline.
Maybe Dr. Octopus loves the Hulk. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe that's within the Marvel Knights storyline or something. I don't know. But also there was the
Marvel Max.
That's right, the Marvel Max series. But Planet Hulk led into World War Hulk, with Hulk coming back. That whole Hulk storyline, that's a really cool storyline, really different. I thought I really enjoyed that. Then I kind of had the whole Secret Invasion thing with the Skrulls and that whole. So I guess that's a whole other conspiracy wrapped in another conspiracy. And then there was kind of like the villainous side of, kind of like the villainous version of the Illuminati, which was the Cabal.
Right.
So, and that included, Norman Osborn, Dr. Doom, Hood, Loki, Emma Frost, and Namor. He's on two secret organizations, because, come on, he's Namor. For a while there, it seemed like you could trust him, but you know, you never know. You can't really trust Namor. I don't know.
It depends on if Sue Richards comes and visits. If Sue Richards comes and visits, then he'll be on the Illuminati side. But you know, if she doesn't give him any loving, then he goes to the Cabal.
Yeah, that's Sue Richards is his moral compass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's my. My number four is the Marvel Illuminati.
All right, and that just segues to my number four, which is the Secret Invasion.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, go in a little bit more about the Secret Invasion.
So, So what kind of started off the super invasion was actually the Avengers disassembled, that whole storyline.
Oh, yes.
Where like the Scarlet Witch made a kind of trouble and basically destroyed the Avengers from within. So a few years later, something happens. There's a prison break at the reef. Reef. And so, you know, you have Luke Cage and some of the other heroes coming together to put the criminals back into prison. And they decided, hey, you
sweet
know what?
Christmas.
Yeah, sweet Christmas.
Sweet. let's start the Avengers again. And so some things where the Secret Invasion really started is when they ran into Electric, the hand with Electrica. I can't pronounce people's names today. And after they defeated her, they found out that she was a Skrull. And it's like, what the heck is going on?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I vaguely recall.
Yeah,
all right. That, yeah.
And even the Skrull have also infiltrated the Illuminati because the members of the Illuminati found out that Black Bolt was a Skrull also. And so, superheroes couldn't really trust each other. They didn't know who was a Skrull, who wasn't a Skrull. And what ended up happening was Spider-Woman was the queen of the remaining Skrulls and setting forth this invasion, the secret invasion, replacing superheroes and supervillains, and a big battle occurred. And basically, you didn't know who you could trust. And which led to a lot of things in the aftermath, meaning like Norman Osborn was now ahead of a government agency, which gave him the right to basically do anything he wanted. Which led, like you said, led into Planet Hulk, the Avengers, and all that. And that's all happened with the Secret Invasion. So.
Yeah,
that is my number four.
I like it.
I remember it, but I don't remember it that well.
Yeah, I pretty much the same thing. But as Sam was talking more about it, I was like, "Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember that happening." Mm-hmm. The Spider Woman thing. I was like, "That's right. That's right. I remember that too."
And that's basically how the Avengers got back together. With all that, all these different things were happening throughout the Avengers book, which led all the way up to the secret invasions. Like, the Skrulls were in the background manipulating everyone on Earth. So,
see, and that's such a better storyline than the Clone Saga.
Yeah.
It should have made Ben Reilly a Skrull, for crying out loud, and get rid of that retcon, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a clone, he's a Skrull!
Yeah. I mean, it was very interesting because they even had Stu Richards as a Skrull also. I mean, and this is how like the dude's Mockingbird back into our universe because she's been captured all this time.
Oh, that, yeah.
So, that's all.
All right.
All right.
All right, moving on to number three then. I'm going True Detective. Season one, the story of which is from 2014, starring Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, was really the kind of one of the starts of the rebirth of Matthew McConaughey's career, along with Dallas Buyers Club, it one of my favorite TV seasons of all time is that show. The conspiracy there is, it starts with the discovery of a girl, a young woman who's been killed in a apparently ritualistic way, and it starts the detectives down a down a rabbit hole of symbology and just clues that lead them to a conspiracy of ritualistic murder. And you aren't quite sure who all's in it, but it involves a senator and some religious leaders and their relatives, and it goes really places. It's hard to do justice describing this show because Matthew McConaughey is just brilliant in it, and he plays the same character at different points in his career, and he's you get to see him as a kind of young detective who's still just a nihilist. And then you also get to see him as a burnout retired cop with a ponytail who's telling his story. And then you also get to see him a little bit as his undercover self from basically taking over a character years before. So he almost plays three roles. My only complaint is it was hinted at that there would be kind of a supernatural, slightly more Lovecraftian presence. And I kept waiting for them just to go full Lovecraft. And they never did. But really just one of my favorite shows.
I've heard good things about it. I've never watched it, unfortunately.
Get out of this house right now.
Oh!
It's not even my house to kick you out of. But, oh, man.
I've heard good stuff about it.
I would put that probably in my top five.
Really?
Shows of all time. I would not say the same thing about season two.
Yeah, I've heard that, and that's what I kind of heard, that season two kind of goes downhill.
Season two is a completely different story with different actors.
Oh, okay.
And I never finished it.
Is Colin Farrell in season two?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
So I
was under the impression that it was the same actors, totally different storyline, totally different actors.
Has nothing to do with each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Season one it is eight episodes, and it has a beginning, middle, and end. And
oh, so you can just watch season one. Oh.
Season two is a completely different story set in a different time frame, different place.
Okay, see, now I might actually go back and watch season one.
Yeah,
because that's what kind of kept me away from watching it, was because I heard how bad season two was. And I'm like, I'm not going to watch this.
I won't spoil anything.
Okay.
Just watch it. Love it, live it. It's fantastic, start to finish.
Sweet.
Yeah, easily one of my top five seasons of television of all time.
Man, that's
a... It won a lot of awards, right?
I believe it did. It's just... It's a wonderful juxtaposition between Woody Harrelson's character, who plays just a normal detective. Kind of southern detective that is straight-laced and on the narrow and... Well, he's not even that straight-laced or on the narrow, but he's just a good, well-rounded character, and then Matthew McConaughey's character is just filled with just darkness. Everything is negative with him. His character just says just brutally honest things that... I'm going to try and look up one right now. Talking about hating people and stuff. He actually says, you have a main character who's the moral center of the story, really, who says, maybe the honorable thing for our species to do is deny our programming, stop reproducing, walk hand in hand into extinction. One last midnight, brothers and sisters opting out of a raw deal. I think human consciousness was a tragic misstep in evolution. like, he's just a dark character.
Wow, yeah,
and says... And then you'll have Woody Harrelson being like, I think that you should shut up. The type, you know, just stop talking.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to go back and I'm gonna have to go watch
this. Highest recommendation of a television show that I can give.
Wow. All
right. It's like a Breaking Bad level recommendation.
Oh my gosh, that's the epitome of good TV right there. Right.
Breaking Bad is, and it is not the same because you don't have the same level of episodes, same number of episodes, the same level of build up, but it's fantastic.
Okay, you hear that, everyone?
5 stars.
True Detective season 1. I'm gonna watch it now because now I'm kind of excited about it. The I guess we'll go to mine.
Yeah.
All right, go from there. All right, my tray. I kind of went a little different route here. This is not really I wouldn't say it's a conspiracy theory story so much as a conspiracy theories, or a theory, I guess I should say, is kind of attached to the story. And the story I'm talking about is Batman the Killing Joke. So I don't know if Sam knows where I'm going with this, but I know Chris does because we kind of talked a little bit about this before we started recording. Basically, the Killing Joke, written by Alan Moore and drawn by Brian Bolland, is a pretty classic and well-respected Batman storyline. Commissioner Gordon's daughter, who's also Batgirl, gets paralyzed in this. Commissioner Gordon at times is tortured by the Joker. Really, Joker and Batman go at it throughout the whole storyline. The theory, and here's spoilers for it. So if you haven't read The Killing Joke and you want to read it before you know the ending, maybe stop right now and skip ahead. But basically what happens at the end, Batman and Joker are kind of at an end, and they're both pretty beaten, and they're kind of just looking at each other, and the Joker starts laughing at Batman, and then you see Batman kind of grin and start laughing as well, and you kind of see them kind of collapsing on each other in a shadowy way where they're kind of like laughing so hard that they can't hold themselves up. Or do you see that? Basically, the conspiracy behind this is that if you look at the laughter, you kind of see the laughter kind of stop abruptly, and the one shadowy silhouette of Batman and the Joker kind of looks like Batman could possibly have his hands around the Joker's neck. And the conspiracy or the theory behind it is that Batman actually kills the Joker.
And that would be the Killing Joke.
The Killing Joke.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. Which, and then when I first heard about this conspiracy theory, I was like, oh man, I love it. I think that's awesome. And I kind of didn't really catch that when I read the storyline before. I just thought, okay, they're laughing at the end of it or whatever. Despite even all the dark, horrible things that the Joker does throughout the storyline. But the theory behind it, a lot of it kind of makes sense. There's like one particular scene where the Batman and Joker are kind of talking with one another, and the Joker's kind of commenting on how they're caught in this endless cycle where the Joker does horrible things, Batman stops him. Joker does horrible things, Batman stops him again. And it's basically an endless circle because Batman's never going to kill Joker because he doesn't want his death on his hands. And at one point in the comic, they show this panel where Batman looks at his hand and he has white makeup on his hand. So just kind of alluding to like maybe at one point he is possibly going to do that. And even just the name of the story, The Killing Joke, like Chris had mentioned, that's the theory behind it. But I guess someone happened to look at the actual script for the book written by Alan Moore, and which basically essentially debunks that entire theory.
Yeah.
Which I think is unfortunate because I do actually really do kind of like that, because it seems like that would be the only way to end that endless battle between Batman and the Joker.
Alright. Did you see when they made it into a feature animated film?
I did not yet. I've been wanting to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, you tell me what you think about it. So.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Okay. What did you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good. I was trying to remember whether or not, because there's a spoiler. There is a scene with Batman and Batgirl, which I was trying to remember if that happened in the comic book or not, where they allude to their involvement.
Yeah, I seem to remember it did not happen in the comic book. I seem to remember hearing about that. They added relationships that didn't exist before.
So,
but Mark Hamill did the Joker in that, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Did you guys hear Mark Hamill's latest tweet?
No. Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. He's begun dubbing Donald Trump's tweets in the Joker voice.
Oh my God, that's...
And it said number one on it. So
that's fantastic.
You can edit this out if it doesn't play on the thing. I'm going to pull it up on Twitter right now. Oh, where is it? Oh, come on. It wouldn't play off of the website.
Oh, no.
He did his New Year. Maybe. Oh.
Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is absolutely amazing.
I hope he continues to do this for the next 4 to 8 years.
Oh, my God.
Because I like Mark Hamill.
Oh, I do, too. That is awesome. And such an accomplished voice actor, too.
Yeah.
Because he does a... I don't know if you guys watch regular show or not, but he does the one character on there, Skips.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first realized that it was him, I was kind of blown away, because I was like, man, I would have never guessed that was Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just awesome. Which regular show is ending soon, too, which is like, oh, man.
That is a good show.
It is. Yeah, I love it. So, all right, I guess that's the end of my numero trace.
All right. My number three is Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
All right.
Yeah.
So, for the longest time, we all knew that Bucky was gone, and all of a sudden, Marvel brings Bucky back as into the Winter Soldier, and brings a lot of chaos to Captain America's life, and so much chaos that they made a movie about it. So
yeah. Now, are you're referring to the comic book or the movie or both?
I'm referring to mostly the comic book, because of the fact no one kind of knew who the Winter Soldier was until it was revealed that wait a minute, this is Bucky, because the Russians found his body and over the years been reprogramming him at different assassinations throughout history, and he was this conspiracy theory. It's like, oh, this the Winter Soldier. People are like, who is the Winter Soldier? And for a long time, it was just like this, the boogeyman himself.
Yeah. And I guess it probably was more of a mystery in the comic books than it was in the movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It was big. Yeah. I remember it being big whenever because it was the long-standing joke, because nobody stays dead in comics except for Uncle Ben and Bucky.
Bucky, exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the man called Nomad.
Yeah, the man called Nomad.
Oh, man. That's that's a whole different other ballgame right there.
Yeah.
Nomad. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good conspiracy. That was a good run.
Definitely. And I mean, like if you're gonna do that, you know, do it really well.
Well, then that's the thing. It's like that might be the difference between the Clone Saga and this is both of those are pretty wild ideas to run past people.
Yeah.
But the execution of the Winter Soldier was just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Why can't they? Clone Saga. Ah, I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, how can Marvel do so well
with so many things?
Yeah, with so many things, and then arguably their most valuable character. They can't pull together a better story.
Because I think at the time when they were doing it, it was like on the heels of the death of Superman. So I think they were like, well, we can top this by having two Spider-Mans. And for the longest time, you weren't following this Spider-Man, but he was actually a clone. You know, I guess that's where they were going with that. But yeah.
They were going for something big, and it fizzled. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected the fan uproar to be like, oh, what are you trying to say? That the Peter Parker that I have spent so much time investing isn't actually the Peter Parker anymore? You know, like...
Yeah, you're like, what?
Because then they even, like, take it back. They're like, okay, the Peter Parker that you knew, not Peter Parker. Like, oh, wait, we lied.
That really is... Yeah, yeah. No, that really is Peter Parker.
No, yeah, no, that's...
Yeah. This other guy, Ben Reilly. We're gonna go.
It took it back.
Yeah. Oh man.
No take backs.
No take backs. No take backs with clone storylines. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has Spider-Man and clone in it, they should just, you know, there should be a rule list at Marvel. And that should be number one.
That we have a conspiracy that is so upsetting that we're still talking about it like 8 picks later or so. I don't know how many.
exactly. It was like the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Sam's first one.
Resonated so much with us, Sam, that you know.
Oh
man!
And that you started with that one.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You set the bar high.
You set the bar high with your conspiracy theories.
I don't know. That. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking about it. We're not gonna move forward.
All right. Are we done talking Winter Soldier then? Okay, well then we're going to move on from the spider conspiracy piece of crap to my number deuce. See, that's a segue right there.
That is a segue.
My I'm dropping my deuce, and it's V shaped. It's V for Vendetta.
Vendetta.
Both the comic and the movie.
Yeah,
Which are different but similar enough that I'm just going to include them in one. I guess I'll probably mostly talk movie because it's the one that's freshest in my mind. Yeah. I haven't read the comic book in some time. I own it, the graphic novel version, but,
and I like both.
Yeah, I do too. You know. So 1988 comic book, and the 2005 movie, and the conspiracy there is involving secret experiments done on a more or less, I guess you'd call him a prisoner of war. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's safe to call him that. Yeah.
That more or less disfigured him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the fire of the escape is what more disfigured him, but also gave him a small amount of, I guess you would say, extra endurance and maybe extra strength and whatnot. And it takes place in a fictional future world, depending on whether or not you're talking comics or movie. It changes whether or not it's about Thatcher Britain or the movie more Americanized it, even though it's still set in Britain. But it's still kind of Americanized, the kind of a conservatives versus non-conservatives, like a fascist conservatives, not like Republican conservatives. Yeah. This is a completely other level.
Basically everything we expect to happen after the Brexit.
Right. Basically, we're, you know, peace through unity. Or peace through, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I forget what it is. Yeah.
Well, regardless, so in this, you've got Natalie Portman plays a character named Evie, and Hugo Weaving plays V, and he wears a Guy Fawkes mask. And the conspiracy here is that the government purposefully launched a virus as well as carried out false flag attacks in order to take almost a dictatorship role in controlling its citizens. And everything is propaganda. The comic has a lot more to do with race. The movie has more to do with freedom of religion and freedom of... there's a lot of gay culture undertones. Yeah, people are jailed for being openly homosexual in the V for Vendetta. I really enjoyed the movie a lot. And it's about fighting back. And as a result, this piece of pop culture has been monetized and is now used as a symbol of hating the establishment. So they're buying something from the establishment to show I don't like the establishment. So, because Time Warner owns all those masks that you're buying, folks. Which doesn't bother me at all. I own one. Yeah. Even though I can't hack at all.
Yeah. But they're still pretty sweet.
They're pretty sweet. So yeah, it's a really good movie, I think.
Alright. I guess that brings us, not just me, because I'm not alone in this journey down the Deuce train? I don't know. Is that even a thing?
Hershey Highway?
Where are we going? Okay. I don't know. Wait.
Wherever we're going.
So,
Deuce
train. Deuce train. I don't know. Is that a thing? I don't know. I probably need to get off my meds.
or back on them.
Back on them. Whichever.
Drop your deuce bag.
Drop my deuce bag. All right, my number.
The best deuce part of all is always watching Sam's face as we make deuce jokes.
So, the deuce is wild. There you go, man. That's like a 70s game show, right?
Yeah.
With what was his name?
Bill Cullen.
Bill Cullen, I think. Yeah.
That was the Joker's wild, but. But we can make it. The deuce is wild.
The deuce is wild. Oh man. Okay. Where are we going? Oh yeah, yeah.
You were telling us all about your deuce.
All about my deuce. This is kind of a spinoff from the X-Files and the Lone Gunman.
Lone Gunman.
Lone Gunman. So I really like that show and. It was kind of short-lived, but I really enjoyed those characters and stuff like that. But I guess the crazier thing...
The best thing ever.
And Chris informed me of this, and I had no idea about this until we just talked about it a little bit before we started recording. In the first episode of The Lone Gunman, they talk about it...
Which aired in March... of 2001.
So March 2001. The conspiracy that they unveil or reveal in the episode is that the government is
they're planning on hijacking a plane and flying it into the World Trade Center in order to be able to start a war in another land. Blaming on terrorists.
Is that crazy? That is completely crazy to me.
6 months before the 9/11 attacks.
Isn't that just crazy? I can't even believe. I almost wonder if that's why the show was canceled.
I don't know.
You know?
They know too much.
They never, right? Because, I mean, that show's not even on syndication, although, granted, I think they need to have 5 seasons before it goes into syndication.
Yeah,
but
you need a certain number of episodes, and there's not that many.
Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty crazy.
That's why whenever everyone after 9/11 was like, well, how could we possibly have predicted that this would happen? Yeah. I would think to myself, I don't know, watch Fox. Watch primetime shows.
Yeah, they kind of knew about it.
It was Fox News. It was your sister network that aired it. Come on now.
So that's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Not the reason why I selected Lone Gunman, but all the sweeter because of that.
Yes.
You know, because that's pretty
crazy.
It
adds a level of sweetness to your deuce.
Yeah, a little sweetness to, like, it's the corn, if you will, to the cob.
It is.
Oh, we're digging bottom tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. I guess enough with my deuce.
Yeah. It's your turn for a deuce, Sam.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
Deuce. Sam wants to take it back to two, I think.
So number deuce for me is DC's Identity Crisis.
Oh.
Yeah. Is yep.
Golf clap.
Yes, that's a good selection.
Which started out in 2004, and just a little synopsis on the whole storyline. Elongate Man find that his wife has been murdered, and so him and other superheroes are going around and trying to find who done it, and a lot of things are revealed throughout the series. We get to see Dr. Light and Deathstroke take on, almost basically see Deathstroke almost beat the Justice League single-handedly by himself when he's protecting Dr. Light. And it kind of, and I think that kind of begun the whole Green Arrow and Deathstroke rivalry that we see on Arrow this day because of what happened here in Identity Crisis. Because it was the first time anyone really shot Deathstroke in the eye. And he never forgot about that. So ever since then, he hated Green Arrow for that.
Slide over.
A lot of things happened. The whole conspiracy theory of both superheroes and supervillains getting their mind wiped by magic, that came about. And a lot of mistrust and everything, and also, you know, the murder of Elongated Man's wife and the whodunit and why. So if you have not read it, I suggest you go and get that and read that that storyline, Identity Crisis.
I just want to say, I will go on record, the prelude to it, the Blue Beetle issue of Identity Crisis might be the single best issue of a DC comic book I've ever read. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah, is that the one?
Spoiler alert, the one where Blue Beetle investigates everything and he uncovers who it is and then is immediately killed. And so good. And, you know, Blue Beetle was kind of a second tier DC hero. Felt first tier that whole issue. It was just brilliant. It was just written so well. And
yes.
And then it just, man, it just a punch to the gut reading it.
It was a great send off for him.
It was.
Yeah.
I felt bad that probably the best Blue Beetle story ever told was his last.
Was his last, yeah. that is true. Yeah. Yeah, that is a good pick. I gotta say that it completely went over my head. I completely forgot all about that storyline. But that is a fantastic storyline.
Because for me, at the end of it, it made you look at some of the superheroes in a different light.
Yeah. Like, all changed the way a lot of them, I think, were perceived, really. Right. You know. Which I guess was the goal.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah. Good pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're moving on to the R. Kelly Memorial number ones.
Yep.
All right. I feel bad because none of you are going to beat this one.
Okay.
They Live.
I know. When I
1988.
That's a good one.
Featuring Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith David and a host of other people.
Yeah.
Directed by John Carpenter.
Yes.
That movie's so good.
It is so good. Yeah. It is so good. I rewatched it last night. It is the story of one man, a drifter, if you will, gets into town, gets a little work at a construction site, staying at this, I don't know even what you'd call it, this shelterish area where a bunch of people who don't have a roof over their heads are staying. Happens upon a conspiracy, and more to the point, happens on a pair of sunglasses.
Yes.
That when he puts them on, allows him to see the world the way it really is. And there are extra dimensional / alien beings who have infiltrated the elite, and they're everywhere. And they've got watches which allow them to communicate with each other and also disappear. And basically they're in control of everything. Very timely pick, because John Carpenter just had to tweet about it because a lot of people tried to make it a racial thing and say that They Live was actually about the influence of Jews in America. And he came out and actually didn't even let that slide for a second. He says, it's about yuppies and the capitalization of America has nothing to do with it, and I can't believe you would even say that. It's not a direct quote, but he was a little bit more forceful. It's just a really good movie, and if for no other reason, it belongs on everyone's top five of everything list because of the 7-minute fight scene.
Oh, it's so awesome. It is so awesome.
All over, man. Just putting on the sunglasses. There is no reason that Keith David's character should not want to put on the sunglasses, if nothing else, to appease him. But no, into... just the longest, ridiculous, violent fist fight / almost wrestling match. There's some suplexes going on.
Yeah, there is.
Sidewalk slams, if you will, a couple times. It just goes on forever. And finally, he puts them on, and he sees the world the way it really is. So, that's my number. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say he didn't
want to
take the pill.
The pill was forced upon him.
That's right.
Through Rowdy Roddy Piper's fists.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, like, after seeing that movie, I wanted to see Roddy Piper in, like, every action film. And it's a shame, really, that he never...
went anywhere after that. A lot of those lines were his.
Oh, my God.
Some of them, I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Or how about this one? Another bad word one. Life's a bitch, and she's back in heat. I don't even know what that meant.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Didn't matter. No. It was just...
oh, man.
Just a terrific, over-the-top 80s movie. It's so good.
Yep.
I hope they remake it. They'll never do it justice, but I would like to see a super serious remake of it. It would be so good. They could do so much with it right now.
Oh, they could.
With the special effects the way they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So long as it has a 7-minute long fist fight smack dab in the middle of it, I'm good with it.
And it's got to all be about putting on sunglasses. And
putting on sunglasses. Do you guys see the South Park version of that fight?
Yes, I have. Yes.
They reenacted the fight almost
Like a shot for shot.
Shot for shot.
Yeah.
With, what was it, Jimmy and Timmy?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
put on the sunglasses.
Oh, man.
It was a hat, though, I think. It wasn't sunglasses. In the...
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. It was like a hat. So. All right, I guess.
To move on to your...
My number, numero uno. And I guess, and this is, okay, I'll just say it. President Luthor, Lex Luthor, if you will. You know, he kind of...
I was hoping you were going with Luthor Vandross, but okay.
Luthor Vandross? Well, there's, you know, the conspiracy behind him, too.
Yeah.
That's a whole other podcast, though. The
Lex Luger.
Lex Express. Keeping wrestling alive.
Keep it. There you go. The no, it's Lex Luthor. A little less entertaining, probably. but no, this storyline with Lex Luthor becoming president. You know, he kind of orchestrated events to bring him to the presidency. You know. Yeah, and I mean that's pretty much all I have, I guess, as far as that goes. I mean, he set things in motion to where, you know, he became president and wanted to gain some more power and stuff like that. And I mean, that's Lex Luthor. You know, he's criminal genius mastermind.
Wait, are we still talking about Lex Luthor in comic books? Or
I did say mastermind.
Okay,
genius
and oh yeah,
inventor.
Uh-huh.
You know, so well. Well, different than what I think. Some
inventors of truths, right?
Yeah, that's more like free-flowing thought, though. I think more so than you know.
Whatever it is, it's got to make it luxurious.
Luxurious. Oh man. So yeah, I guess that's my number one.
My number one.
Hit us with your number one.
Your number one.
I think this conspiracy is probably the most talked about conspiracy out there. The assassination of JFK. On how he was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, was it one bullet or two bullets? Or whether or not it was Magneto try to either save or kill JFK. And this come about in X-Men, the movie X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation between Xavier and Magneto, and Magneto revealed that he was trying to save JFK, and that, in fact, JFK was a mutant.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was an awesome reveal.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was his mutant power?
I don't know.
I have a theory.
Ooh.
What is your theory?
Pulling tail.
The power of persuasion.
Yes.
The power, there you go.
Yes.
So
Marilyn Monroe.
So all sorts of conspiracies of what was his relationship with Marilyn Monroe and how far he'd gone and what happened to her. What was his mutant power if he was a mutant? Who killed him and how many bullets did it take to kill him?
Right.
So, you know, if Kevin Costner makes a film about it, you know, it's got to be kind of serious.
Certainly.
That's right.
I will say that your number one pick blew my mind.
Oh. Is that too soon? I don't know. That's right.
Oh, Sam went out of frame on that one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was kind of a multi-dimensional pick, though, Sam. You
brought it to real life, and then you brought it into the
fictional universes. The
fictional universes.
And then...
That's why it's up. That's why it's my number one.
You go.
I have to clone. Clone Saga is number five, so I have to, you know.
Yeah. Would we like to talk for a minute about actual conspiracy theories? Just a brief moment? Because I have to, not necessarily things that are actually confirmed as fact, but just, I have to say that I love conspiracy theories. They bring me a certain level of joy, and the more out there they are, the more I love them. I don't believe them, necessarily. I would imagine there's probably a kernel of truth in most conspiracy theories. There's something that brings
like
it
the,
up.
Like the subterranean lizard people that are controlling our minds.
That's my favorite, the reptilians. Yeah. David Icke, yeah. I love telling people that people firmly believe that there is a group of wealthy people who control everything, and you can hear people going, well, yeah, that's... And they're lizard people from another dimension who use devices to mask their appearance.
Yeah.
But if you ever get a chance, internet, and you... Basically, what happens is this. I will start looking at a very nice video on YouTube, a funny video or something, and then there'll be little links off to the right, and I will take that, and eventually it will lead me to the dark side of YouTube. Yeah. And I will end up watching... There is, like, 13-hour... David Icke gave a Wembley Stadium talk that lasted 13 hours on the role of lizard people in the world. And people pay money to see this.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was not aware of that level of...
This is a man...
commitment. That's pretty crazy.
...who on national television had a meltdown and said that... I don't remember if he said that he was Jesus' brother or what. And then disappears from the public life and then comes back telling people that everyone's a lizard. The royal family? Lizards.
That's awesome.
The presidents.
The presidents. Lizards.
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 You don't like someone?
Nah.
Probably a lizard.
Probably a lizard. Because,
Or an a-hole. Yeah. I just be an a-hole, I guess.
There's a chance of that.
That's one of my favorite conspiracies.
Yeah, that's probably one of mine, too.
So is that why B got canceled?
That's...
Yeah.
That is...
That's a whole other conspiracy.
That is a conspiracy because it opened people's eyes to the fact that our supreme overlords were actually lizard people. Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta cut that out.
Yeah.
I also
they're gonna catch on.
I also like it when conspiracy theories are proven to be true. For example, MK Ultra. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this story, but MK Ultra it was a conspiracy theory around a specific, I believe it was a CIA, it was the code name for a CIA plan where they studied the effects of mind control and psychotropic drugs and the menesteric goats and all that other stuff. Yep. MK Ultra. Well, as part of the Freedom of Information Act, some things got released, I believe, that was because of that. And one of them involved a very specific person that was involved with MK Ultra against their will. They didn't know that they were. They took a very bright person from, I believe it was Harvard University, and he was basically called, his opinions were so normal and run-of-the-mill, not normal, run-of-the-mill, but his opinions, he was used as an experiment to see whether or not they could change someone. So they set up debates where he would have to debate his thesis statements. And they basically tore him down. They hired professional people to tear down his belief system. And this gentleman spent the rest of his life trying to convince the world that he was correct and that technology was a danger and all these other things. He went on to write a manifesto explaining exactly what it was he believed. And he mailed it out to news agencies at the same time that he was bombing people. And he was Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. So, I love it when a conspiracy theory is just rooted in fact. You can look it up. It's all the information's out there.
Yeah, that's like that whole the Stanford prison experiment.
Oh, I watched a documentary on that. It was crazy.
That is, yeah. That is pretty crazy stuff. Yeah. There's another one, too, that I'm trying to think of what it's called.
Was it the Tuskegee experiment?
Yes, the Tuskegee experiment.
Isn't that where they gave people syphilis?
It is, yep. Yeah. So
we've done some weird stuff. They dropped some sort of weird poison on like San Francisco or something in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, I do remember hearing something about that.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was some sort of strange food. It wasn't actually poison, but it wasn't good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of weird things. I like conspiracy theories,
though. Yeah. Chemtrails. That's a good one, too. Yeah. So. All right. I guess we covered our
all of our issues with
conspiracies. Yeah.
Got some issues.
Got some issues and some conspiracies and theories and all that kind of good stuff. So, all right. I guess is there anything else we need to add?
They're watching. I don't think we should say anything else. They're listening.
Nothing else. All right. Everything is going great.
That's right. We, you know.
Oh, can I tell you something really weird that happened one time? Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting having a conversation with a coworker, and it led into a conversation about... I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to bring politics to this at all. But it led into something that was kind of critical of where we're spending money as a nation. And while we were discussing this and we were discussing things to do with the military, my phone was sitting on the desk and it turned on and the Google thing popped on, the voice recognition thing. It made the thing. It literally, like, I wasn't touching the phone. And we both just looked at it, and my friend went, and all I have to say is that I love living in this country, and that there's, but I have no idea why it happened. Nothing I said should have been misconstrued as an okay Google, let alone the fact that it wasn't on, so it shouldn't have swiped open, but hey, is what it is.
There you go.
But probably a coincidence, but it was a really bad timed coincidence.
I always feel like somebody's
there you go.
That's right.
Anytime you can fit in a...
What was the name of the dude?
I'm trying... Oh, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh. I keep wanting to say Falco, but that's not Falco. Falco was putting on the roots.
Yes. hold on here. Let me get him.
Oh, what's his name? Don't tell me. Riveting podcast as we try to remember.
exactly.
I got it too.
All right, go ahead and reveal it, because
Rockwell.
That's right. How could you know? We should have remembered that.
Yeah, many Rockwell hits.
That's right. They all had was just remixes of that song.
Yeah. Other recordings of this song. Yeah. It doesn't even give you other songs by him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's that ends our podcast. I guess. All right. So, check us out on the internet at allmyissues.com, on YouTube, on the Facebook. On Twitter at allmyissues. allmyissues@gmail.com.
If you'd like to email us, or you'd like to ask, you know, tell us to do a top 5 list of something, make a suggestion. We'll accept suggestions.
Tell us about your conspiracy theories, what you believe.
Yeah.
And if you're a lizard person, also maybe email us. Maybe we can interview on the podcast. Yeah. I don't know, talk to you later.
We'd love to have...
We don't judge.
I, for one, welcome our lizard overlords.
Exactly. And I guess on that note, we will say goodbye.
Later.
Later.